Hello and welcome to another All About Symbian podcast, and this week we're doing insight number two. Thanks for all your feedback from last week, and this time I'm with two other people and they're going to introduce themselves now.
It's Steve Litchfield here, and by the way, you won't have to hear my boring fit voice every single week because we have got some guests planned, but right now the other guest for today is...
Hey, Ewan Spence, long-time writer and the person who gets in everybody's hair on the website.
That's yeah. The one.
And I'm Rafe Blanford, so you've now got the top three All About Symbian teams together on one call, and we're going to be talking about what's happened in the Symbian world this week. And our first topic of conversation is something that Steve, I believe, has been looking at, which is the Nokia N95 running on the 3 network with the X-Series branding and the services that go with that. And I know that both Ewan and I have also had a look at this, so we thought we'd talk about this first. But would you like to introduce us to it, Steve?
Yes, three got in touch with me wanting to me to feature their new Skype phone, which you may have seen if you've been watching the general tech blogs. It's not a smartphone. It's like a rinky-dinky thing that was made in China. It's very tiny. It's basically a dumb phone, 176 by 220 pixel screen. So we're talking going back 3 or 4 years in terms of technology. But its number one feature is that the D-pad center has got a huge logo marked Skype. So you basically press that whenever you want Skype. And it has got a Skype voice IP and chat client built in. So you press that one button and you've instantly got all your contacts from your Skype address book. So your Skype address book on the internet becomes your main contact store and access way in to access all the people you want to talk to or chat to. And having the text chat on a phone through Skype built in is pretty handy. But I couldn't really feature it, in all honesty, on All About Symbian because it's not a smartphone. It doesn't run Symbian. So I wanted to compare it with their X-Series N95. Now, the X-Series is a 3 initiative bundling in lots of Web 2.0 data-intensive services to attract people to top-end smartphones. And if you subscribe to their X-Series, then at several different levels, you get the different packages. And the one they sent me, I think, is the top level. And I'll go through some of the services later on in the podcast. But just to mention the Skype bit briefly before Rafe and Ewan chip in. The Skype on the N95 and the X-Series doesn't appear to be a full Skype client, and Rafe will give the tech details in a moment. The main feature that I was disappointed by is that it gives you voice over IP, as in down the bottom of a mineshaft quality voice over IP, and that there's no chat option. You can't send text messages using Skype instant messaging to the people in your contact stream, which was a real disappointment after the dumb feature phone with ye oldie world technology, which could. Anyway, Rafe, how does this Skype work on X-Series?
So on the X-Series, Skype have done something a bit different, and they're actually using a company called iScoot to provide this service. And incidentally, iScoot also make this software available for S60 and UIQ, so anybody can use this method. The difference is with 3, it's integrated into your billing, and it's essentially a free service, whereas on other operators, you'll probably have to pay something out of your inclusive minutes or something like that. But the way it works is it actually makes an ordinary phone call to the iScoot or the 3 servers using a switch circuit data line. In other words, that's just an ordinary voice call. And once it gets to those servers, it then connects out over to onto the internet to the regular Skype servers. The reason they've done this is because if you do a data connection for something like voice over IP over a 3G connection, or indeed over an edge connection, which is just about possible, as we'll mention later in the program, you do tend to get a lot of lag. So although Steve did note when he was ringing me on this service, we noticed some lag, it's much worse when you're over 3G. And so iScoot have kind of solved that problem, and it does work well, and it does allow for free calls. You may remember that 2 years ago at 3GSM, so this would have been back in February of 2005, Nokia were actually showing a native Skype client running on the Nokia 6680. That's never actually come out to the public, either on S62nd edition or S63rd edition. And certainly the lag on that was very noticeable. It was a couple of seconds. So I have my suspicions that that's probably the reason why we haven't seen a native Skype client. However, as we're seeing increasing numbers of Wi-Fi phones, and especially when people at home generally going to be in range of their Wi-Fi hotspot, there's definitely going to be a correlation between N-series users, which are typically the phones that have Wi-Fi, and the E-series users, and having a Wi-Fi spot at home. So I think it's something that actually I think would be of its time now. A couple of years ago it didn't make much sense. And I know Ewan's also been using, Skype, using a couple of Symbian handsets. And what's been your experience of that, Ewan?
The experience with the Symbian handsets, it's, as you said there, it's patchy at best because of the way... I mean, Skype is effectively a P2P, but using voice instead of raw files in the same way that something like BitTorrent is. So it's of all the voice over IP solutions, Skype, you know, was great when there was a little people using it, but as more and more people are using it, it's become slower and slower because of the nature of the infrastructure. So the fact that iScoot have kind of lifted the heavy processing element off the mobile device and put it into a server rack, as it were, that's actually much more beneficial than running a pure Skype client on your phone, because effectively you're then using upstream and downstream bandwidth to make the call. To be honest, I think the thing that interests me is that Skype is such a disruptive technology. And voice over IP is all told. I mean, you look at somebody like TruePhone, for example, that when you have on the handset, you have Skype, which is, you know, perceived as being free, and then a mobile call, which is perceived as having a pence per minute. It really does unbalance the handsets, which is why, for example, you had Vodafone and Orange locking out voice over IP on the N95 when it was launched on their services, but here you have Three embracing it fully. So it also provides some great unique selling points between the networks, but ultimately, you know, we're still taking baby steps here, and it will mature over the next year. I'm pretty sure that we'll see a solid voice over IP solution coming out in mobile, but I really don't think that it's going to be a brand that we recognize from the PC, such as Skype. TruePhone, arguably, maybe, but I think what we'll end up doing is that carriers will use voice over IP to basically drop regular voice calls, and everything is streamed as data. I mean, in the moment, you know, a voice call is translated into data at 9.6K on a bitstream in any case. I just think we'll see that quantified probably by about Q3 next year.
What about Fring? Can I ask about, have either of you used Fring? Because that's isn't that true voice over IP?
I used Fring, and the quality, even standing right next to my hotspot at home, it sounded like it was a radio in a Vietnam movie.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I've used Fring as well, and actually I think one of the nice points about it is it works with multiple services, so it also works with the likes of MSN, Google Talk, etc.
And it actually gets better results over things like Google and MSN compared to Skype in any case.
It does, and I know Steve talked a little bit earlier about the chatting on Skype and it not being supported. Fring does support chatting over Skype, so actually I think Fring works best as a kind of an IM client. And while the voice stuff is okay, as Ewan was saying, you know, the quality leaves a little bit to be desired. I mean, if you're willing to sacrifice quality, it works well, and it is a free solution. And of course, it does also work over a 3G connection, but in that case, you're going to have to watch your operator. Of course, you'll have to have an unlimited data bundle, and they may have restrictions over voice over IP usage. So yeah, Fring's a good alternative option for getting Skype working. So in that sense, you don't need the native client. But I think it's worth underlining what Ewan was saying about the way Skype works versus other voice over IP. Skype is in fact the sort of ugly sister in some ways, because it doesn't use the standard way of doing things, which is voice over IP is usually carried over a protocol called SIP. And that's really just a wrapper for an IP, which is an ordinary data connection over the internet. And I know Ewan mentioned TruePhone, which is basically looking to be a UK-wide or even further European-wide operator, worldwide operator that works over data connections and doesn't, if you like, a virtual network. And they use this SIP technology, which is built into all the S60 third edition handsets. And my personal feeling on that is it works very well. Their problem is going to be marketing themselves and getting people to know about this stuff, because, as we were saying, it's not really very mature. But I think the point that has for Skype is, as you say, it's not a very efficient protocol that's designed to run on mobiles. And so iScoot is kind of, and as used in the X series, is the only solution, really. It's also worth mentioning that there are a couple of other Skype solutions for Symbian. One of them is Shape Services IM Plus, which again, it concentrates mainly on the chat, but does also support the voice. But it really needs a PC to do this, and they tend to be slightly less cost-effective. So really, if you're looking to make cheap calls, which is the main reason people use Skype, I think it's worth looking at some of the other voice over IP solutions like TruePhone, or indeed any of the other voiceover IP operators in the UK, pretty much any of them will work with an F63rd edition handset, even if it is a bit fiddly to set up, and they'll be much less intensive on the battery life, which is of course the other big thing about using such services. I think the point for three that I think Steve will probably reinforce is that this is a very consumer-friendly way they've done it, in that it works with just a single icon on the handset and it's something familiar and immediate. And the same goes for the sort of Skype-specific phone they produce, but it's not necessarily the way things are going to work in the future. Steve, if you handed this to someone, do you think they'd be able to use it if they were familiar with Skype?
Yes, I do. I'm quite impressed by Three's customization of the N95. They've replaced most of the icons and the front active standby screen, left and right function buttons with quick pointers to their own sort of mini menu of their services. Is it worth me just mentioning a few of the things that also come in the X series, because we haven't really covered the X series much and all about Symbian so far?
Yeah, no, I think it'd be interesting to hear about that, especially as we're very big on saying it's the out of the box experience that matters, and in one sense, all these phones are available from operators, so it's the value add that they can add to them. What operator should you go with? Is it tariff-based? I think increasingly it'll be about the services, and Three certainly seem to have a head start there.
Okay, well, when you kick off the left function button on the main standby screen, you get to a custom Three launcher, which basically lists each of their servers and applications. Now, some of these are just bookmarks to specific mobile sites they've set up with different providers. But most of the applications are also available in the main applications S60 folder, because they are just native S60 applications that have been created for Three by the different developers. I'll just run through some of the ones other than Skype, because some of them are deal breakers and that they may cause you to go, wow. Some of these are available through the third parties as well, if you just want the one service. Orb, which I haven't actually played with because I haven't got the hardware at home, is a way of streaming media off your home PC. I'm hoping that Rafe or Ewan will jump in a minute when I to chat about that some more. Mobile TV is just as it sounds. It's 12 different channels, including this like National Geographic, BBC One, ITN News, BBC News 24, all the usual stuff, a Cartoon Network, and it works pretty well. The you wouldn't want to watch a long program on it because there are freezes and buffering pauses, but if you want to catch up with the news or let your three-year-old watch a cartoon in the back of the car, I think it's perfectly adequate. And it's quite impressively, it's only 49p a day for all channels, and that's on an ad hoc basis. You only pay extra when you use it. Now, of course, you're paying 8 fee for the X series in the first place, but I think as a low cost way of adding mobile TV to your handset, that's pretty decent. The mobile cast, they call it, is a podcasting system. I can't really see what this adds over generic podcasting systems, except the fact that it's the out of the box experience, as we were saying, in which case it's all set up for you. You don't have to go hunting for streams and directories. It gives you hundreds and hundreds of podcasts in a variety of categories: technology, comedy, news, and so on. And they're all there, point and click, you press it and they start playing. It is all streaming, unlike the Nokia solution, where you sort of download them once a day through Wi-Fi at breakfast time. This is a streaming podcasting system. Because the X series includes all-inclusive data, they're not worried about bandwidth. So basically, you pick a podcast and you start streaming it to your handset using their data system.
So presumably that has a much greater feeling of immediacy than, say, the standard S60 podcasting client.
That's right. Again, it's all about Three giving the X series users exactly what they want immediately, without having to do too much fiddling around and the sort of stuff that power users like us do to save money, because we know how to do it. The average X series user is not expected to know that, which is fair enough. And I still think the X series is a good initiative, and it certainly gave the a kick in the bottom to some of the other networks out there and providers. A couple of other last things within the services: there's Sling Blocks and Sling Player, which we've covered on All About Symbian before. Obviously, watching live TV and live media from your home hi-fi and home audiovisual system. I know that Ewan was down to receive a test one of those. Maybe he could comment in a moment. And the final couple of things before I sign off here, they're just shortcuts to Windows Live Messenger, which I believe is now a free download anyway for most Nokia N95s and N-series handsets, and quick start shortcuts into things like eBay Mobile and MSN. But it's an impressive package. I'm thanks to Three for sending it over and loaning it to me for a couple of weeks. I've had great fun playing with all the different services. It's wonderful to not have to think about the data tariffs and how much it's costing me. So on that front alone, kudos to them. Okay, Ewan and Rafe, do you want to pick up on any of those points?
Yes, I mean, I know the streaming services you were talking about. Indeed, I've actually got a Three handset with X Series on it, and I mainly actually have it for the data rates on it, because I know about a lot of the services anyway, but and I tend to switch the SIM into a non-branded handset. But yes, I would agree with you that it's set up and it's very easy to use. It's things like eBay, a lot of big brands that people recognize. There's also the instant messaging with MSN Messenger and things like that. But going back to the streaming, I know one of the solutions they support is the Sling Media. And actually, it was the first in the UK to do this. And now, after they've had their year of exclusive, Sling Media has made the Sling Player available more generally in Europe and the UK. And it's now also works over Wi-Fi, where previously, and indeed on X Series, it really only works over 3G. But certainly I've had a very positive experience using that. It does tend to be something you only use occasionally when you're travelling and away, because I'm not that obsessed by watching TV when I'm away from home, because I'm generally busy doing other things. But technically it's a very impressive solution. And I know Ewan's just installed a Slingbox and he's been using it on your PC. So what's been your initial impression, Ewan?
I think the first thing on the Slingbox was it was immensely easy to set up. It was a case of plug one cable into the back from my TV drive, then put that into the put that back into the TV, so it almost like sits in between the cable, and then run a cable into the router. So I mean, put it this way, I would be quite confident my dad would be able to set this up as well. In terms of use. Well, because I've got a hard drive recorder alongside my Virgin Media box, I actually have this nice big library of recorded programs for the last year or so, and I can access them at the moment from anywhere in the house. But it also means that I can get the extra TV channels, such as things like the Disney Channel. I can take that into the kids' bedroom for them quite easily without having to drag through the cable box and another TV, or pay another £30 or £40 for a decoder. So in that sense, around the home, it's actually incredibly useful. In terms of traveling, I suspect that I'm going to be using it a fair amount over the next 2 weeks, with a number of conferences in Europe that we'll be covering for all about Symbian, and that will probably be like to keep up to date with things like the BBC News and the occasional episode of Top Gear. A lot of media I take away from me is usually rendered down for something like on the PSP down to about 320x240 resolution, which of course is the same resolution as the 95 and the 81. So looking forward to comparing the streaming as opposed to the pre-rendered experience while out and about on Wi-Fi and 3G in the handset.
Yeah,
so Ewan, can I ask a question, Ewan?
Yes.
Yeah. What happens when you're out in America and you want to clue into a bit of media on your or a TV channel on your Virgin Mobile audiovisual system? Your daughters are watching Chucklevision, and all of a sudden the channel changes and it switches to what you want to watch. Is that an issue?
It can be an issue. There's a couple of ways around that. The first one is if I'm in America, I've got an 8-hour time difference. So the evening for me will hopefully be 5 a.m. In the morning here in the UK, which would get around that problem. The second one is the Slingbox Pro can actually has an analog tuner built in as well. So for the next 3 years, they can still be watching a digital channel, and I can still get on and stream BBC One, BBC Two ITV, and Channel 4 and Channel 5 live. But yes, there is that situation where I could, you know, log in, control it over the remote infrared remote control, and switch it away from Chucklevision to, Where Eagles Dare. And I would probably then have Vicky rip the Slingbox out of the wall, switch back Disney, and then she can go, you can fix it when you come home, and that will be in 3 weeks' time. Na, 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 na.
Yes, I was going to say, actually... one of the big things I like about Sling Media is it's effectively a replacement for mobile TV. And I know amongst the three of us, mobile TV has a bit of a mixed reputation because operators have tended to charge quite a bit extra for it, maybe £10 a month, to get just a few channels over a fairly poor quality 3G stream. And I think with something like the Slingbox, it's going to be an upfront fee, which is, you know, it ranges from about £100 to £150, depending on how you get your Slingbox. But then it's effectively free there afterwards. So if you're, you could think of it as a year's worth of 3G TV from an operator, and you then have, of course, access to your own content. Steve was talking about, Ewan was talking about being able to access all of his recorded media. So I think if you're a big user of mobile TV at the moment, this is definitely something to consider. And it'll be interesting to see how something like this does against something like DVB-H, which hasn't really made an impact yet, mainly because of licensing issues and spectrum issues in this country, although it's starting to take off, I understand, in Italy. But I think streaming from your home makes a lot of sense because it is personalised to you, and it's your own content and your own subscriptions, and it means you don't necessarily have to pay again for the same channel. I know the other streaming experience on 3's X Series, which we mentioned just very briefly, is easy access to Orb. And again, this is something that's available to third parties. We'll have all the details in the show notes. But the way 3 have set it up is it's much easier to set up than it is traditionally if you do it on your own. And so it sort of encourages more people to do it. And what Orb does is it runs on your PC and allows you to access all the MP3s, all the videos you have on it. And if you've got a media extender or Windows Media Edition attached to it, i.e. you have a Windows powered TV box, you can also connect to that, although I think the main use is just really for music and for video stored on your PC. And it does work very well, especially over a good 3G connection with HSDPA, which of course the latest handsets now support. And mainly it's really just about packaging it in a way that's easy for the customer to understand. And I think that's important to state, although none of these services are in one sense innovative and new that you won't have heard about necessarily. We're talking about for the mass market, and in order for these things to really take off and be successful and for more services and more content to be developed, we'll have to see them go mainstream. So it's really about the user experience, and I think Steve's really underlined that by saying it's the out-of-the-box experience and how easy it was to set up, and Ewan was saying the same thing about the Sling Player. So that's our main topic done for this week. We're just going to do one more thing, which is talk about two bits of software, and I'm going to let Steve go first because he's got something that he's reviewed on the site this week, but just say a few words about. I think it's Sky Quick Key, is it, Steve?
Yeah, the actual pronunciation of the program is fairly irrelevant, but Sky Key Key is pretty darn impressive. I was quite taken aback by the volume of comments that flooded onto the news story and my review. It gives you a type and quick match solution for all your contacts, all your web bookmarks, and all your applications. So whether you want any of those three, you just start typing it using predictive text, not using multi-tap on the keypad, from the standby screen, and you're there within two or three clicks, which is just so impressive. And everything within me wants to say, no, this is horrible. This, in the sense that you've already got five ways to launch application, there's 16. You've got launchers and shortcuts and goodness knows what else. We don't need another one, but this is just so elegant and so quick. I can see why people are raving about it. If I were Nokia, I would snap this up and make it part of the standard S60 experience, and drop the multimedia menu or one of the other ways of launching applications. So Sky Kiki are tremendously impressive, and it's just so fast. You would have think that starting to type an application name or a contact name, it would go off and say thinking ... 5 seconds later, it comes up with a match. It does it instantly, and I mean instantly. It does it faster than you can type the letters out on the keypad, and that's just really impressive. So kudos to the developers. Highly recommend it. Go and check it out. And as a trial version.
And let's be honest, Nokia dropped the multimedia menu for something different in every other model.
That's right. So I know Ewan's got a piece of software that he wanted to talk about, and I know as a Thys Lord in training, he's actually got a slight complaint with Nokia. So do you want to tell us about that, Ewan?
Well, it's not a case of a slight complaint. It's just the fact that the application that I've taken out to meetings, and that we've had a third Tuesday here up in Edinburgh as well, which is basically a get-together of lots of Web 2.0 people, the thing that everybody went, that is what I would buy that phone for. It's a little bit of freeware that uses Nokia's, oh yes, we've got accelerometers in the N95. Yeah, here's the API for them, and I have to say, congratulations do have to go out to the developer on this one. It's a lightsaber. And the great thing about this is, whenever you tilt the phone, or, you know, it does different noises and everything. And there we go. And all that exciting stuff as well. Why is it so useful? Well, the thing is, it's not. It's just completely and utterly useless. But how many people, you know, swing lightsabers around in their hands? Or that's probably just me. But it captures everybody's attention. It's something different. It's fun. It's leisure. It's freeware. It really does typify why I think the hobby programmers deliver so much value to the system. This isn't something that Epochware would come up with. This isn't something that Nokia would put on the phones as a demo. This isn't something that will ride high in sales charts and Handango and earn lots of money. But what it will do is it makes a phone memorable.
I have to say that when I was just been transferring all my data across the N95 8GB to give that a real slamming for a couple of weeks, and the very first application I installed it, the very first one was Lightsaber, which says something else about how sad I am and also about how cool this utility is.
Well, I have to say my only complaint about it is it does tend to scare the cat when I use it. but other than that, I think it's a great example of the accelerometer usage. And joking all aside, seeing that kind of usage of accelerometers is something I'm sure we're going to see a lot more of in the next year, both in games and the user interface.
Yeah, and it's nice. I mean, we have already seen some other applications use that accelerometer. There's one that automatically picks up the device is tilted on its side to switch into landscape mode, replicating something that the Apple iPhone has. And I think somebody's built up an interface so you can shake your phone as shortcuts to applications. So if you wanted to get to the contacts app, application very quickly, you just kind of like shake the phone away from you twice, dink dink, and it would open up. So there's lots of practical uses for it, but if you were to demo it,
yeah, something like lightsaber is great. And of course the accelerometer stuff is being built into the next version of S60 in a standard way, and there's an article on the site that we'll link to from the show notes that you can read about that. So it's something we'll see a lot more, and I think in a slightly more serious context as well, apart from just a bit of fun. Okay, so that's it for this week's All About Symbian Insight. I hope you enjoyed it. If you've got any feedback, please get in touch either via the site contact form, or you can email me at rafe@allaboutsymbian.com or any of the other guys as well. So thanks, guys, very much, and we'll see you all next week.
Goodbye.
You've been listening to the All About Symbian podcast, www.allaboutsymbian.com. Copyright 2007.